If Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson, it's not going to be something where everybody's praising and so happy for Jake Paul. They're going to be like, you just knocked out a grandpa. What's up, you guys? I'm Rachel Amita, and welcome to the Courtside Club, where we give you a courtside view of all things that are going on in the world of sports and entertainment. And there was big news announced last week. It is official, you guys. Jake Paul will be fighting Mike Tyson. Before we even dive into this topic, I want to know right now, who do you guys think is going to win this fight? Do you think it's going to be Jake Paul? Do you think it's going to be Mike Tyson? Let me know in the comments below. So Ariel Helwani announced the fight on X. He said Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson is a done deal, July 20th, exclusively on Netflix Live, Cowboy Stadium. This tweet has over 15 million views. And of course, when I saw this, I sprinted straight to the comments. One word, three letters, why? And that's originally what I thought when I heard this news. I feel like on this topic, you guys, I've been going back and forth because I'm not one who's been, I'm not like the normal crowd who seems to be just like a Jake Paul hater. I do respect what he's done kind of in the space, and he does seem to be a pretty legitimate boxer at this point. But this whole fight seems just weird to me, and I'm going back and forth on how I actually feel about it. So Mike Tyson posted the announcement on his Instagram, and his fans, they were torn about this announcement. I'll just say that. He wrote, "We signed the contract," and then he tagged Netflix and Most Valuable Promotions. The top comment says, "Mike Tyson, you're an idol of my generation, a hero. Everyone will remember you forever. You don't need these scenes. Please don't give this guy a chance to just get in the ring with you, a legend, or he ruins everything. Finish like the hero you are and don't play these games. I'm speaking to you on behalf of all your fans my age." So this is what Mike had to say about the fight. He said he's grown significantly as a boxer over the years, so it will be a lot of fun to see what the will and ambition of a kid can do with the experience and aptitude of a GOAT, Tyson said of Paul, who was 30 years his junior. Tyson added, "It's a full circle moment that will be beyond thrilling to watch as I started him on his boxing journey on the undercard of my fight with Roy Jones." This is the fight where Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson back in 2020. But Tyson says he now plans to finish him. So just as a reminder, guys, Jake Paul is 27 and Mike Tyson is 57 and he will be 58 by the time these two fight in July. There's been a lot of concern about Mike Tyson's health from fans across the internet. And there was this video circulating of him walking with a cane in 2022. And there are also rumors that he was in a wheelchair back in 2022. Also, he claimed that it was like some back injury that he was recovering from, but the guy is close to 60 years old and has been a professional athlete. As you guys know, if you put so much wear and tear on your body for this many years, a professional athlete at 60 is probably going to have like more injuries, more aches and pains than just a regular person who hasn't been training, fighting, been in a combat sport like this their entire life. Something that I thought was interesting was this interview that Mike Tyson did with Joe Rogan a few years ago, where he actually talked about when he started training for the Roy Jones fight back in 2020.
The emotional state to prepare for that is mind-boggling. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was seeing when I was seeing you hit the pads. I'm like, this isn't just working out. There was something going on, man. When you were working out with Cordero and you were ripping to the body and throwing those hooks, I was like, this is a man who's preparing to go to combat. This is not normal getting ready to work out shit. That's why when I saw that video, I was like, oh.
Want me to tell you something about that video?
Yeah.
I did that video and I was in bed for a week. That was 30 seconds and I was in bed for a week. And it's not funny because it made me realize that This is big boy shit, okay?
Big boy shit.
The point of this video, he goes on to say that after that training session and how much training that he had to do for this fight, it reminded him as to why he quit boxing in the first place, because all of these aches and pains, all these injuries started coming back, which is like a totally fair statement to say when you are nearing 60 and you've been doing this combat sport and you've been putting your body through hell for most of your life. There have been some videos of him training in 2024, somewhat recently. I'm no boxing expert. I don't know what to gather from these videos. They're also very short videos, so I don't think anybody can look at them and say, oh, he's ready, oh, he's not ready. It's very different from posting a 30-second video online to getting in the ring with somebody and going rounds in a very competitive fight. All of this gets back to the question as to why. I'm not going to go into the X's and O's of boxing. I don't know who's going to win this fight, but what my mind goes to is who will be the winner regardless of who wins this fight. And I think the only answer to that is Jake Paul. If Mike Tyson beats Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, one of the greatest boxers of all time, beat a YouTuber who hasn't been boxing for very long. Because like I said, I've met Jake. He seems lovely. I do think that he has contributed to the sport of boxing, and he's made it to where boxers are getting paid more. There's more eyeballs on the sport. Whether you love or hate Jake Paul, you're going to be tuning into whoever he's fighting. A lot of people on the internet still want to see him get KO'd. They're just asking, but like, can one person just knock him out? They're just really tired of him. I don't have that kind of hatred for Jake. I also don't think that these fights are rigged, but this one to me seems weird. You're fighting somebody 30 years older. But I go back and forth, because this to him is probably like getting in the ring with an idol of his. Why wouldn't he take that opportunity? Why wouldn't he make millions and millions and millions of dollars? If Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson, it's not going to be something where everybody's praising and so happy for Jake Paul. They're going to be like, you just knocked out a grandpa. Like, that's going to be the general consensus. Or it's going to be, this fight was rigged And Tyson took the fall, because there's no way Jake could knock out Mike Tyson. If Jake loses to Mike Tyson, it's going to be like, of course you lost. He's the GOAT. Like, he still got it. Jake, you should fight a real boxer. I don't know where the trajectory of Jake Paul's career goes, because for him to fight like a professional boxer, it's not going to have as many eyeballs on it as him going up against celebrities or big names who are in other fields, right? The whole premise of boxing, it's still entertainment at the end of the day. It's about selling tickets, about selling pay-per-views. I don't know where he goes from here. It's a little bit strange, though, also for me to think of why Mike Tyson needs this fight. He's known as the greatest, so if he knocks out Jake, it doesn't help his legacy at all. It doesn't make him look like a better boxer than he was before. And if he loses to Jake, I feel like the risk of that is just like so much more than the reward, unless they're getting some sort of crazy number of dollars. But then that goes also into the philosophical conversation, is like, is all money good money, or how much money is actually worth your dignity, your pride, your legacy, your ego. I do, though, hope neither of them get hurt. I hope Mike Tyson doesn't get hurt. I don't think anybody wants to see that. Maybe it will just be a great show. And maybe it's, you know, kind of how Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul was. They didn't even announce a winner. And it just gets a bunch of people to tune in. They make millions of dollars. And maybe the undercards get elevated. Maybe that's the silver lining. Maybe whoever's fighting underneath, I don't know yet. I don't know if they announced it yet. But maybe who's fighting under that gets elevated a bit more, and they can make more money, and they can get their name out there, and then, you know, build their celebrity. And that's what you need in the sport of boxing. But you guys let me know in the comments below what you think about this fight. Do you think it's a fair fight? Do you think Jake should have taken this fight? Do you think Mike Tyson should have taken this fight? And who do you think is going to win? You guys let me know in the comments below. I still feel like I'm a little bit split on this one, of how I actually feel about it. But I wish them both the best. And we'll just have to see. Another story that was making its rounds this weekend online was the announcement that Drea Michele is pregnant with her third child. So Basketball Wives alum Drea Michele announced that she was pregnant and expecting a baby girl with Houston Rockets star Jalen Green. She wrote, "Happy hashtag International Women's Day." And she posted pictures of her with her baby bump. She said, "As women, we navigate through so much, often leading us to question, what is my purpose? For me, the magic lies in motherhood and the awe-inspiring ability to bring life into this world over the span of 2 decades. It's my superpower. And if anything can surpass the wonder of being a woman, it's the privilege of bringing another woman into existence." So this is Drea Michele's third child. She is dating Houston Rockets player Jalen Green. I don't want to talk too much about their relationship, but I will give you guys some context. Drea Michele is 39. Jalen Green just turned 22. And one of Drea Michele's children is actually older than Jalen Green. That was the first bit of information that gave me some pause about this whole thing. We see massive age gaps in celebrity relationships across the board, not just women dating younger, but we see it most of the time with men dating younger. So this is not some new phenomenon in the celebrity world. However, having a child that is the same age or older than the person that you are now having a child with, to me, would just give me pause. I don't have children of my own, but I just can't imagine being nearly 40 years old and wanting to date somebody who is the same age as my child. It's boggling my brain a little bit how the kid's dad is going to be younger than the kid's brother. Moving along, that's not really what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about a video that was also circulating where Drea shares that she wants one more kid and the reason why she does. So let's check this out.
Do you want any more kids or are you done?
Oh yeah, I want more kids.
Like how many?
Like one, I think.
So like the person you're dating, you see like a future with them?
I think the question you were asking me is if I wanted more kids, and I feel like I want more kids, and yeah. I feel like at this point in my life, right,
yeah,
the relationship is amazing to have, right, but that's not what I'm basing having a kid on, because right. I'm very non-traditional. Yeah. I feel like you can co-parent without being in a relationship. Maybe just two people say, hey, you want a kid? I want a kid. Let's just have a kid and like let's just
really.
See.
So you would
I'm very
that?
Like free spirit. I'm very open and just.
I didn't have too many thoughts. I was in my mind like, okay, wishing them the best. Jalen Green seems pretty young. He's doing super well in the NBA right now. I hate that there's more noise around him because of who he's dating, like taking away kind of from his craft, because that has been the biggest news as of late, but he's also been playing really well on the court. But then when I saw that, am I the crazy one who thinks that that's not the way you should think about having a kid? And also feeling bad for Jalen Green when you get asked point blank, the person that you're in a relationship, do you see a future with this person? And she kind of laughs and completely diverts the question. Like, to me, I don't know her personally, but that's her saying like, no, I don't really see a future, but I do want a kid with them. And also to say that the reason you want a kid, but you don't care if its dad is in its life because you're free-spirited and non-traditional, to me is just like wrong. I think it's completely wrong. And I think in some of these cases, us as women maybe need to call out other women and point to a celebrity when they are saying things in the media that are actually detrimental, I feel like, to society. There's well-known statistics that prove that children in two-parent households do better. And I'm not saying that you can't be a single mom or a single dad and raise a fantastic child and do all that. But when you're going into it, basically setting your kid up for that for your own selfish reasons, just because you want to have a kid, I feel like just the way that she talked in that interview was very selfish. I think having a child with somebody who's as old as your oldest child is also selfish in a sense. This whole thing just kind of makes me feel icky inside. But you guys let me know in the comments what you think. Am I the crazy one? Is this all fine and dandy and it's just what celebrities do and it should just be accepted? You guys let me know in the comments. To end it, I would just say that I'm wishing them both the best. I hope that Drea has a happy, healthy baby. And that's all I have to say about that. March Madness is just around the corner, and I know that we've been talking about college hoops a lot on this channel recently, but there was just some news that leaked. A report that said that Duke, Kansas, and more are in talks with MCBB Tournament offering $2 million in NIL money. It says, following in the footsteps of the NBA, men's college basketball is looking to start its own in-season tournament featuring 8 of the biggest programs in the country. According to Front Office Sports, the tournament will be dubbed Players Era, with $2 million in name, image, and likeness deals being offered to these teams that participate. So the teams are talking to right now: Duke, Kansas, Alabama, Florida Atlantic, Oregon, San Diego State, Virginia, and Houston. They noted that the tournament operator is guaranteeing that sponsors and other tournament partners will offer each school a total of $1 million in NIL money for participating. The money will be spread around to various groups, including collective, boosters, or other NIL entities, with coaches and teams given the ability to distribute the money as they see fit, as long as it goes to players currently on the team. The winning team will receive an additional $1 million in NIL money to be distributed in the same way. My initial thoughts after seeing this were a few things. Firstly, why are they also not doing this for the women's side? Women's college basketball right now has had so much visibility and press, I feel like even more than the men's side. And why I think it would be important to do this for the women's side, and why I think women's basketball is going to continue to grow, especially on the college level, and why it's so important on the college level, is because girls stay in college for all 4 years, sometimes 5. So the storylines, the rivalries between teams, the rivalries between players continue on over many of years. A lot of these top recruits that are playing at Duke and these other big schools are one and dones. A tweet went out about this, and I feel like the general consensus from the public was also kind of all over the place. Somebody commented, "This is pay to play. It gives schools recruiting advantages over other schools and must not be permitted. NIL is for student athletes to profit off their name and likeness. This is not NIL." Somebody said, "Wait until the players start demanding money from the NCAA to play in their NCAA tournament. Fiscal incentives based on tournament success." Which, if you are going to have only a few teams in this kind of tournament, I do think that maybe it's a bit unfair for other schools. And it goes into this bigger discussion of where NIL is right now and how it's going to continue to grow. Because I will say that college basketball and college sports in general do not need fixing. They're fantastic. There's always a competitive edge. These kids, and I'm going to say kids because they're very young, these kids are still going out on the court, on the field, and playing with so much passion and drive and love for the sport. And that's why I'm glad that a lot of players are getting compensated now, because it is like a full-time job and these colleges are making a lot of money off of your name and likeness. However, is there a point where it dips too far to where college becomes like we see the NBA or the NFL becoming? Is there players who come in and they don't care to play that much? Are we going to see kids starting to sit out because they know that they're making money anyway and they're one and done and they're ready to go to the NBA? And so I think something like this, where there is going to be $2 million going to the winning team, maybe we just be careful from all sides, or it does turn into something where college sports are thrown into the same category as professional sports, and we won't know what the detriment or the negative side effects of that will be until more time passes. So it's exciting. It's exciting that college sports in general seem to be growing even more than they ever have been. I just hope that the integrity of college sports remains.
Why can't there be an in-season tournament for, like, you know, we're 70, 80 teams playing it?
Yeah. You
know? Like it doesn't matter.
That's the thing that I think hopefully there comes to be more of those, because I guess the one thing with NIL is, like, I root for the kids who are playing in college who might not be good enough or might not have dreams to play professionally. And maybe this is, like, my own bias showing, because, like, if I had NIL in college, I wouldn't have quit playing basketball. And I can say that with full conviction. I quit because I never wanted to play professionally. And so I didn't see the benefit of becoming the greatest basketball player I could possibly be and then quitting and sacrificing a bit of my education for that. So, like, I root for the girls, guys who are, like, I root for them to make money also. So if it's only going to the top schools and the star players who are going to be first round draft picks, it's like, I guess fair. This is capitalism, fair. But I would love for other kids to get that opportunity as well, because Division I sports is a grind. It's so much of your time. You sacrifice a lot. You have to sacrifice a lot of, like, your education as well, depending on what school you go to, time with friends, this and that. You can't get a secondary job because you're practicing and doing all these things. So you're not making money in other ways. I hope that other teams are also invited and they do more of those. What do you guys think about this college in-season tournament playing for $2 million? Do you think it's going to positively or negatively impact the NCAA? Do you think the women should also get this opportunity to play in tournaments like this? Let me know in the comments below what you guys think and who you think is going to win the tournament this year. All right, so I wanted to tell you guys about something that happened to me recently where I was approached by a company very similar to OnlyFans, asking if I wanted to join their platform. And their pitch was about how, you know, they have people on the platform that are making like $2 million a year. This platform isn't as big as OnlyFans, but it is similar. They were familiar with the fact that my audience is predominantly male, which it is. And I think a lot of that obviously has come from my days at NBA 2K and just working in sports. A lot of you guys who do watch my content are guys. They knew that about me and they were just trying to sell me on this idea of maybe starting on this platform that goes behind a paywall and there's monthly subscribers, just as there is OnlyFans and Patreon and other places. And I let them kind of give me their spiel and heard what they had to say. Another thing that they said was, you know, there's different ways to promote this. You can kind of put whatever information, whatever photos, whatever videos, whatever you want behind this paywall. It doesn't have to be nudity. It doesn't have to be like sexy photos like a lot of girls do, but you could do, you know, you could do day in the life things. You could do behind the scenes. But then something that stood out to me, he was like, but, you know, there is better ways to promote it than others. You know, if you just promoted it and said like, hey, check out my behind the scenes and subscribe here, you might get some people to sign up. But then on the other side, if you posted yourself kind of in like a bikini and said like started a blank page with a little devil emoji, then you'll probably get a lot more people to click and sign up because they don't really know what they're seeing. But then behind the paywall, you could post whatever you want. They also mentioned how they have people who are behind the scenes and they will kind of manage the page of these women, because they said like maybe there are some guys who use these platforms, but it is mostly women who use these platforms. But the guys behind these paywalls are the ones who are messaging people. I guess on these sites, subscribers can pay the girls to like chat with them or get personalized videos, this and that. And they do that for you. So there would be somebody like on my team who would be messaging these different guys thinking it was me for me. The people I was talking to, I will say lovely people, but I got off the call with kind of an icky feeling in my stomach. I told them I would, you know, thank you so much I'll like talk to my team about it. It's not what I did at all. I'm not going to talk to my team about anything. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm never going to do anything like that. So if you're coming to this video hoping that I'm going to say that I'm going to do an OnlyFans, it's never happening. An OnlyFans is never happening. An anything close to OnlyFans is never happening. And anything, you guys, if I tell you to subscribe to something, to see some exclusive content, it's never going to be something where I'm showing off my body or sharing a side of myself that I wouldn't feel comfortable with the entire world seeing. That's number one. Number two, it got me to thinking of the bigger issue that's happening right now in today's society with social media, with OnlyFans, and with these kind of pornographic websites where there are millions of men who are subscribing and paying women just to see their body. And then there are millions of women who are thinking that it's okay to do that. And they're actually using that as their main source of revenue or as a career at this point. And it's really, it's sad to me that we've gotten to a place in society where this is so normal. Like I remember years ago where there was some shame behind some of these career paths, and we don't have that anymore. And I think the thing that upsets me the most about it is I understand the appeal of girls who might not have money, might have bills to pay, may have kids to support, and they see this as an easy way to access money, right? It's a career, it's a job. But I think the side that you're missing, and what a part of me that I could never fathom doing, is giving away such a sacred part of myself and my life, and just the safety risks behind it as well. Like I mentioned, I do have a predominantly male audience, but with that, even to me and the very small bits of information that I share with you guys about my life and my personal life, I already feel a lot of times like I'm not completely safe, because there have been instances where I've been in public and fans have come up to me and not made me feel very safe or said certain things that have made me uncomfortable. And that's not the majority. Most of you guys are lovely when I meet you, but I couldn't even imagine taking off my clothes and then having a fan meet me in person. Like, how do you go about regular life knowing that you never know who you run into on the street has seen you in that most vulnerable place? I also wonder what is going on with men in society where you really feel like you have to pay girls to see them or chat with them, which, by the way, if you guys are on OnlyFans paying for chats with girls, it's probably not them messaging you. It's probably some guy, by the way. So sorry to burst your bubble if you're actually doing that. But how have we gotten to a place where that's how men are spending their free time and their free money? It's honestly sad. And I don't want it to be something where OnlyFans is normalized. I don't want it to be something where these lines of work are so normalized and so glorified and glamorized in a sense. Oh, bad baby turned 18 and made $3 million on her first day on OnlyFans. No, that's actually sick. That means however many people were waiting for a 17-year-old to turn 18 so she could legally post nude photos on OnlyFans. That's not something that's like, oh, good job. Like, yeah, I guess good job robbing a bunch of sicko men, but that's sick. I don't want this to be something that becomes normalized and becomes okay. And I really hope that the tide starts to turn a little bit, because I also think it's probably a slippery slope for some of these women who get on these sites like OnlyFans and other places like this, where they start by just maybe, you know, showing fitness things or showing bikini photos, and then they're getting requests from their subscribers like, we want to see more, we want to see this, or... And then these girls feel pressure, because if they don't do this, then they're going to lose subscribers. And that's the only place that your income is coming from. So I don't know the purpose of this video. It was really only to share with you guys my experience of what happened to me, but it is something that I'm seeing so much more often. And even with advertisements, I see like OnlyFans and these other sites being advertised so much. And I guess wanted to share you guys how against it I am. And if you have girlfriends, if you have friends that are girls that you want to share this video with and just maybe help them and share with them like, hey, maybe this isn't the right career path. I promise you there's so many different ways that we can go in the world with our career, with our jobs. There's so many different ways to make money. And listen, you guys, there's also normal jobs. We don't all have to be on social media making our money on social media or being famous or taking off clothes or posting really pretty pictures. There are so many ways that we can contribute to this world without doing that as women. And so I hope that this just reaches the right audience. Maybe one for men, stop spending your money doing that and like go to the gym, invest in something, take a girl on a date and spend your money there with her in person, like buy her dinner. Don't spend it on some random girl on the internet who you're probably messaging with another middle-aged man behind the scenes. Don't do that. So one, men, stop with that. And two, women, please find your passion in other ways because you don't have to sell your body and a part of your soul to make money. And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I really don't think that there's an amount of money in the end. And a lot of girls are also doing this when they're super young. I don't think that there's an amount of money in the end that's going to make up for those years, that time, that piece of yourself that you feel like you lost when you were young and in your 20s. And the last thing I'll say is whatever you put on the internet will be there forever. So choose wisely what you want that to be. But what do you guys think about OnlyFans? Do you think it's okay? Do you think that it should be banned? Do you think that it's good for society, bad for society? You guys let me know in the comments. Maybe in an upcoming video, I can dive deeper into the subject and read some of the things that you guys have to say.